This is Colourful Radio.
Mr. Ashley Beardall, how you doing, sir? Welcome along.
I'm good, I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
That's all right. Now, Horace Andy and you, unfortunately, Horace couldn't be with us today.
He's lost somewhere. Yeah.
traditional reggae superstardom style, he is lost. Nobody knows where he's at, the car went to get him, and he's just out there somewhere.
He's down at DJ's on the Harrow Road, mate, I know so.
No doubt we'll catch up with him very, very soon. But a brand new album from a legendary artist, and hooking up with you, sir, and your inimitable... I should say, inimitable style of many, because you really do embrace a kind of love of this music, don't you, right across the board?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm just a music kid, end of story, you know. I grew up in a household where music was all, you know. My father had the most amazing record collection, if you like, you know. So that kind of guided me, really, right through my life. I mean, I'm still nicking his records now, you know what I mean?
So tell me, how did you come across the idea of, or the hookup to get working with Horace Andy in the studio?
It was crazy, really, because I was contacted by the record label K7 Strut, and they said, look, we're doing this Inspiration Information series. We've done the first one, which was Sly and Robbie and Amp Fiddler. And then they said, you know... we would really love it if you could do, can you take a week out and think who would you want to work with? So I sat there and I made a list to myself of all these lovely people I wanted to work with. And Quinton Scott, who runs Strut Records at K7, I rang him up, and I've known Quinton for years, and I said, look, Quinton, I'm really sorry, mate, but all the people I want to work with are dead.
Can you help me?
Exactly. I went, you know, they're you know, or you can't find them, you know, because there was people like Leon Ware and all kinds of crazy people. Yeah. So basically, Quinton...
Funnily enough, Leon Ware's got a new album out, which we've got on the playlist.
Yes, yeah. Yes, I heard he's got a new album. So anyway, my manager, Adam Dewhurst, he runs Trojan Sound System, and he's kind of very connected in with a lot of people. And he said, I'll tell you what, let's see if we can get you working with Horace Andy. I went, you're joking. He went, no, seriously. And seriously, within a day, I was having a meeting with Horace.
Wow.
And, you know, me and Horace just shot the breeze. We talked about what he wanted to do. And he just wanted to do something a little bit different, something that, you know, had its base, if you like, in reggae music, but wanted to spread out a piece, you know. So... you know, I said, yeah, we can do that. So from there it grew. I just basically done it the reggae, you know, the Jamaican way. I just built the rhythms, gave them to Horace, and he went off and wrote the lyrics.
Fantastic. Amazing. And that was called When the Rain Falls from the album, which is just called Horace Andy Ashley Beardall.
Yeah, Inspiration Information. Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, what was it like, though? Didn't you ever, like, have to sort of stand aside of yourself and pinch yourself and check yourself?
Do you know what? I never gave my brain that much time, really, because, you know, from meeting him, which was really amazing, you know, because I'm there sitting there talking to Horace Andy. But then, by the time we got to go in the studio, it was not so much pressure, but we only had a certain amount of time to make the album. And it was only till the album was finished I actually pinched myself. I thought, oh, my God, I've just worked with Horace Andy, you know what I mean? And he was an absolute professional, unbelievable to work with. Yeah. You know, he was coming in, he was doing his lead vocal literally in one take, and then he would follow up with a harmony or a tracking vocal on the second take. We never, ever had to rehearse it, really. He just knew exactly what he wanted to do.
I heard stories like that about Marvin Gaye. One take, in the studio, sunglasses off. One take, sunglasses on, see you later.
Yeah.
Legendary record.
Yeah, and, you know, Horace, yeah, it was just a lot of fun, you know. And then in between all that, he was just on the phone to Jamaica constantly, trying to keep the family in check, yeah. You know.
Keith, you're our reggae man. Horace Andy to you.
Horace Andy, an absolute legend from the days of Studio One. That's why I could totally identify with what Ashley was saying there. You were telling me about a story. I just saw the inside cover of the CD, yeah. It's got a couple of tunes on there. Would you like to share that story with the rest of the people?
No, it was just basically because I had the opportunity of having Horace Andy in the studio. I got all my Horace Andy 7 inches, my pre's out. I thought, right, I'm going to take them in and get Horace to sign them, you know.
Yeah.
So I took them into the studio, and I think there was about 20 odd pre's we had, you know, and I said, Horace, you know, it'd be really nice if you can sign them. So he took them from me. And he was looking at the labels and the various all the information on the 7 inches, and he had this look of total disgust on his face. And I said to Horace, "What's wrong?" And he went, none of these people have paid me.
A familiar story.
Yeah, totally. It reminds me of the title of the Ragga Twins album, Reggae Owes Me Money.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, I just sort of looked and I thought, I should have known that. I should have seen that one coming, really. You know what I mean?
And you probably said, don't worry, you're getting paid for this one. It's cool, it's cool.
You mentioned Quinton from this label, Strut.
I mean,
a real enigmatic character. And he's really doing things for music, isn't he? This is a record company person who loves this music, man.
Quinton.
Doing a new album with Grandmaster Flash as well. So he's bringing back the legends.
Yeah, he's just an amazing guy to work with, Quinton. You know, years ago when he first started Strut, I'd done quite a bit of work with him, you know, in terms of compilations and remixes and stuff. But I've always, he's a close friend of mine, you know, and he's a guy that, you talk to him and he's very measured and very cool and, you know, he never breaks a sweat, but his passion for black music it knows no bounds. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible, you know, and it's always a pleasure working with Quinton because, you know, he guides you, but you wouldn't know it, you know, you wouldn't know it.
Have you any amazing Horace Andy stories? Like, is he a little bit off key? Because I remember hearing about Lee Scratch Perry. My good friend David Rodigan said to me, Chris, you know what? I had Lee Scratch Perry stay at my house once. I came back and the video recorder was gone. And I shouted up to the missus, Elaine, have you seen the video recorder? No. And eventually, it transpired that the video recorder had been buried in the garden.
I know he was
one Lee Scratch Perry.
I mean, we were talking about it earlier, weren't we, Chris? I was saying about Adrian Sherwood had exactly the same experience. He took Adrian Sherwood's television when Adrian had gone down the shop to get some food, and he'd buried the telly in the garden.
Oh no!
Yeah,
what was that about?
That's just Lee Scratch Perry, man. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
Just doesn't really like modern entertainment equipment.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard a few stories about this. Yeah.
iPods going missing all over the world, buried in gardens somewhere. You know?
I've heard some few filthier stories, which we won't go into the daytime now. Yeah. Still.
But you know, another very, very enigmatic man, Lee Scratch Perry, for real.
To say the least, yes.
Colourful Radio, chatting with Ashley Beadle, DJ producer and music lover extraordinaire. I mean, I've bumped into you in music shops still.
Yeah.
We keep the old mums and pop stores, as they call them, going, don't we, Ashley?
We certainly do. Not many of them left now, which is a shame, but you know.
We bumped into each other in BM Soho, where I nicked an edit that you did of Peven Everett or something.
Peven Everett, yeah.
You know, you're from reggae to soulful house. It's amazing your passion for this music.
Yeah, it's just I don't know what it is. It's just what drives me, you know. I just love anything that's got depth, that's got soul in it, you know, that's got feeling.
Are you playing out there still a lot?
Every week I DJ either on my own or with Express 2. And the funny thing is as well, the last sort of few months, you know, I've been going out and back doing reggae jams now.
Oh,
you know?
Really?
Yeah, so, okay. You know, I played because Rodigan does David Rodigan does a monthly night down at the East Village in Shoreditch.
Yeah, the Rootical night.
Yeah, the Rootical night. Yeah. And I'm kind of involved with that, you know, and I played with David there just before, you know, just after Christmas it was last year. And fantastic night, you know. It's really, and seeing someone like David Rodigan as well, you know, the passion that man has for reggae music's incredible, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
And with Express 2, I mean, you worked with some bizarre artists there as well, didn't you? David Byrne and all sorts of people.
David Byrne, yeah, yeah.
Wow, from Talking Heads. I mean, that's another great character of music who celebrates music of diversity, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Fiend for Latin music and salsa and stuff.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
what's
he
like
is.
Working with him?
David Byrne was once again, you know, an absolute joy. I mean, we didn't actually work physically with him, you know. It was sending him the track and then he sent back the vocals, and that's how we did it. But then we had to go and do some press with him in New York, so we flew over to New York and we hung out with him for a couple of days, and it was just the most funniest thing, because this guy, you know, he has got the round of, which we can't say on air, but the round of dirty jokes you'll never know, you know. Very funny guy.
Yeah, don't tell him on air, we'll be shut down as quick as we started up.
Not so, today of all days.
No.
We're very glad to have you here on our inaugural DAB broadcasting day, which means we're now beaming this into kitchens and front rooms and cars all around London, which is real progress for us. So thank you so much for coming in. And,
no, thank you.
And blessing
thank
us
you.
With your presence here and bringing some lovely music. The Indeed. Album itself, I mean, it's there's 11 tracks on here. I think 10 of them, you were saying, was it, were original compositions?
No, I think we've got Hypocrites by the Wailers as a cut of that. And there's a cut of the Rolling Stones' Angie as well, which Horace insisted we did. So,
He's a big Stones fan.
He's a big Stones fan, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, thanks so much for coming in. And we'll finish up with Festival Song. What do you want to tell us about this one?
Well, Festival Song was basically, I've got a little little crew that I've got together. We call ourselves the Warbox All-Stars, you know, and we just have a lot of fun. And we built a rhythm, basically, a couple of years ago. So when we were doing the album project, I kind of said to Horace, look, check this out, see what you think. And he loved it. And it's just, it's what I call it, it's a bit of a, like an almost like a wonky ska track. It's the best description of it.
All right.
And he loved it, so yeah.
Well, actually, this is Cafe Colourful, so you're welcome here anytime, mate.
Thank you.
You know,
thank
we want to support this music. We want to bring back a little bit of soul, because it seems to have fallen off lately on your local radio station. But we're trying to keep it alive here at Colourful. So thanks for coming in, mate.
Thank you.
This is Colourful Radio.